This episode is about making tests reproducible in isolation. What does that mean? Well, let's say you've got a test suite that has a test failure in it, and you try to debug that test, and in isolation, you try to run it by itself, and it does not fail. It passes. Is that a good thing? Well, of course it's a good thing. Your test passed. But then you throw it back in the suite and run the whole thing, and that same test fails. What's going on is you've got a dependency between different tests, and something is happening in the suite, maybe in a previous test or maybe in a fixture that is not the same during the suite as it is during the test in isolation. There's a few plugins that can help you get things, your house in order so that that doesn't happen. And we're going to talk about that in this episode. Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions. And that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics. A test suite is a bunch of tests that get run together. And we'd like to be able to run our test suite like in CI or through talks or something and have that be the same as running each individual test by itself. However, there are things that get in the way to make that not quite work. We start out by writing a single test and debugging it and getting it ready and then committing it, adding it to the suite. And then we just add more tests. We keep doing that, developing tests, usually one by one, and then adding them into the suite. Sometimes they're a bunch at a time, like with parameterized tests. However, usually they work before you commit them. What happens when there are also test fixtures, setup and teardown code that happens before and after tests, or before and after a group of tests, like around a module of tests, or maybe out of a package, an entire directory, or maybe the entire session has setup and teardown around it. That is one of the things that makes things run a little different when you're running a test in isolation than when you're running the entire suite. So how do we get around that? Well, one of the ways to get around it is to just don't do any of those large level fixtures. Completely reset the system, start from scratch for every single test. But that might not be feasible and it might take forever to run your test suite because we do the grouping because it saves time. So first, let's talk about what causes some of the dependence between tests. And then we'll talk about ways to check to make sure your tests are independent before we get them into the suite. We're going to use a few plugins. And then we're going to talk about how to debug a test dependency failure. We get test dependence. We have a dependence between test runs, between two different tests or a set of tests, usually because of a few things. Normally, I'm looking at system state. So the system under test, the code under test, has some state involved with it, and a previous test left that system in a state that's different than the initial setup, and that affects a following test and causes a failure. Or the test that is failing is assuming a state that is more specific than it should. It should possibly assume a broader set of circumstances. Maybe there's not enough test cases checked in the default case. So that's the system state that either a previous test is leaving the system in a state that is different than what the test expects. Another thing could be actually data within the test suite itself. There are ways to, they're not necessarily good things, but there are ways to pass state between tests, and perhaps something isn't getting set up correctly if you run it in isolation, or it gets mucked up if you run some other tests beforehand. I normally don't have a lot of tests that have data that gets passed between tests, except for things like what temporary directory am I in or what my connections are. Those are all handled through fixtures, though, but that might be it. So the other thing is fixture setup and teardown. Oftentimes, let's take, there could be anything like hardware that you're testing or anything, but let's take the example of I've got a temporary database that I'm setting up at the beginning of my test session, and maybe between a, like before and after a class of tests or a module, or at the very least between tests, I am cleaning up anything that a previous test is set up. So let's say I just assume that the database is set up, the columns are set up, but there's no data in it, it's empty. And a in particular test can add data to the database and then run tests on it. But then when the next test comes around, it'll actually clean out that data before it runs the test, clean out any previous data, or a teardown from the previous test will clean that out. So one of the test failures can be that your cleanup isn't quite right. There's something that you're not cleaning up between tests that you need to be. Now, you probably have caught that already. However, it might not just be a database thing. It might be maybe a configuration file that one test is adding, that or a configuration state of the database that doesn't get cleaned up appropriately. So something isn't getting cleaned up between the tests. The other thing, when I often am testing hardware devices. So one of the things that can happen is it isn't that the state of the system is not in the right state when a test runs, or that is the case, but it's that it's not there for very long. Like there might be a settling time or hysteresis or something going on, and one test is changing the system and then stopping that test before the system can settle into a default state that the following tests expect. And this can be dealt with when the systems I'm working with, there's operation complete commands that you can call, but there's other ways to verify that. Usually there's ways to verify that the hardware is done doing what it's doing. I don't want to put sleeps in the code. I have before. I have put, there's been times where there's nothing left to do but throw a couple milliseconds sleep in my test code. I don't like any sleeps in my test code, but sometimes you kind of have to put those in there, but try not to. Okay, so those are the causes of dependence between tests, but how do we see if there are anything in there? Is any dependencies between our tests? We can easily check this by... We could brute force go through and run every test individually and in the suite and make sure both those work, but it won't catch like timing errors and things like that. So the other thing to do is to change the order of the testing. And one of the plugins, I'm going to use a few plugins. One of the plugins I love is called PyTest Randomly. So that is a plugin maintained by Adam, and he goes by Adam Changes on GitHub, but it's it will randomize your tests and shuffle them up. So all you have to do is pip install pytest-randomly, and when it's installed by default, it randomizes your tests. It doesn't completely randomize them. It should run about the same speed as your test it ran before, and it does this by randomizes the modules first, and then the functions within those modules, and that hopefully will be such that your fixtures still run the same way. We'll talk about the problem with complete randomization a little later with a different plugin. So that's PyTest Randomly. You install it and it just randomizes everything. By default, you can turn it off. There's flags to turn it off. One of the other cool things about this, though, is it prints out the seed. So it comes up with a random seed, and that seed is used for randomizing the tests, and it prints that out so that if you want to run the same session again, like let's say you have a test failure in CI. And you get back and you're debugging it in isolation and you can't get it to isolate. So you say, oh, I'm just going to run the whole suite locally, but it's going to have a different randomized list. But you can pass in the seed from the CI because it's going to get printed out in the log. And you can use that seed to reproduce the exact same order, which is so cool. The other cool thing about that is that seed is not only used for the ordering, but that seed is also passed into plugins, other plugins that use random features like Factory Boy and Faker and Model Bakery and even NumPy. So if you're using those random functions from those for different tests, possibly, or your own code, those random seeds will get set by PyTest randomly. Very cool. Another related plugin like that is maybe you don't really want to just shuffle everything, but a simple way to do this is another plugin by the same maintainer called PyTest Reverse. And that just like just takes your list of tests that are going to get run. And normally it runs your directories by alphabetical order. And then within each directory, the test files in alphabetical order. And then within each file, just from top to bottom, that's what PyTest default is. And the PyTest reverse just reverses that. Take the whole list and then just runs it in reverse order. The cool thing about that is you're going to have the same tests grouped together. The different tests are going to be this. They're going to be together, but they're just going to be flipped in order. That's pretty cool. That might be sufficient to test your independence, and it might be a good first start. But check out randomly also. Another related plugin, which I also really like, is called PyTest-Random-Order. So PyTest Random Order. It's a different plugin than PyTest Randomly. One of the things it does not pass in the seeds to Factory Boy and NumPy and things like that, but it just randomizes the tests. And one of the things I love about that is the default, again, is it makes sense. But there's a couple things that you can do with it. First off, it does not randomize everything by default. You have to pass in a --random. I guess it's random-order. --random-order. That's what you pass in to turn it on. But you can see that in the description in the documentation. But so by default, runs it in normal order, or you can pass in a random order. You can also pass in a seed. I don't think you can detect the old seed, and I'm not sure whether or not it prints out the seed to rerun it. But if you want to reproduce it, you can like in CI, I would recommend throwing in a random seed and listing it just as part of your CI, but then changing it every once in a while, maybe. But or just do randomly anyway. But PyTest random order is pretty cool. The other cool thing about it is it has a bucket type. So the buckets would be like shuffling all the functions within a module, and then shuffling modules and everything. But you can't just completely randomize everything and just say, I want the bucket to be global. And what that does is it really does randomize everything. The warning though here is that might make things run slower because fixtures, PyTest will detect that fixtures between your fixtures might run more times. Like let's say you've got a function scope or a module scope fixture. The setup is run at the beginning of the module and then it runs a function. And then since it's going to hop to another module before it finishes that module, it'll run the teardown, go to the other module. And then when it comes back to do another test function within that file, it's got to do the setup again. Anyway, so if you've got a lot of work within your setup and teardown, you might want to not want to do big buckets, but it might be fun to just try to see if you can, that will be completely isolating things pretty good. So what does this do? Hopefully randomizing things should still work in any order and they should work mostly the same. This will help. It doesn't completely eliminate the possibility that you might have dependence between tests. I don't think. I mean, I don't think I can mathematically prove that. But if you shuffle all your tests and it runs just fine, also, I think you have a fairly high confidence that things are going to be pretty good. So we've just used plugins to shuffle our tests essentially. So that's. You want to do that on a regular basis and probably maybe in CI. So maybe you're testing without shuffling it locally, but within talks or within your CI, you add a shuffling feature to just break things up a bit and see if you can reorder them. Make sure that they're independent. That would be great. But what happens, let's say you're not there yet. You have an existing suite and there is a dependence. You've got a failure. How do you get that? Well, we're used to doing binary searches within data structures. I just want to make sure that people remember that binary searches work great in life too, and they also work great in finding test failures and dependence between tests. So let's say I've got 10 tests and the ninth test fails in the suite, but it doesn't test when I run it by itself. What do I do? Well, I can start by just like running the eighth test first, the eighth and ninth. I probably would do that actually. Just the one before, see if that's enough to check to that's the one that's leaving the system in a bad state, possibly. I mean, it's right before it, so decent chances, right? But it might not be that. So we want to eliminate the set of tests that are affecting the ninth test. And we can do that by like narrowing the scope of tests that get run before it. And so we'll want that seed, that random seed, if it's running in random order. But if it's not, if you haven't randomized yet, we don't need to worry about that. But we can just use maybe dash K or do the test list and list tests individually in some way, run a subset of tests and reduce that subset until we just have the minimal set that reproduces the problem between those two tests. Hopefully there's two tests that run and one of them is causing the problem and the other one isn't. And hopefully by examination, you can look at what the tests are doing and figure out possibly what state is getting left around that is mucking up the second test. I know that's pretty vague and not very detailed instructions on how to debug that, but all systems are different, really. So what are the key takeaways that I want you to take away from this episode? I'd like you to remember that when you're debugging a test, it's really awesome if a test failure in the suite is reproducible just by running the test by itself. It'll make your life better for the rest of the duration of working on this project. It's so much better that it's worth it to add randomization to your CI system and possibly locally to shuffle your tests so that you make sure that your tests are independent and pass like that before going on. And if you start this early in the project, it'll help you. And if you already have an existing project that does not work well like that, try the reverse. Reverse is a minor change, and hopefully that's enough to keep things working. However, these are plugins. You don't have to do much except for install them. Remember that PyTest Reverse and PyTest Random Order are plugins that you actually have to add a new flag to randomize things, but PyTest Randomly will by default randomize things, and you have to add a flag to turn that off. So three great plugins to use to test to make sure your tests and your test suite are independent. Thank you for listening to Testing Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.